Portobello Tools Radio.
Welcome to Our Future Hood, a series of shows and podcasts about how we can work together to create a greener future. It's part of the Mayor of London's Future Neighbourhoods 2030 programme. In the process, we'll be helping ourselves as well as our bit of the planet. In October 2019, the Royal Borough declared a climate emergency and set a target for the Council's own operations and buildings to achieve net zero emissions by 2030. Housing accounted for 73% of the Council's total emissions, and Nottingdale has one-fifth of the borough's social housing. All three large estates in Nottingdale are over 50 years old. Henry Dickens was built in the early 50s. Lancaster West and Silchester were both constructed at the same time as the Westway in the early 70s. They all have issues with inadequate insulation and the cost of energy supply. But residents have fought hard in the past to preserve these homes and their communities, so knocking them down and rebuilding is not an option. So what's the answer? I went down to Baseline in the heart of Nottingdale to find out. We're delighted to welcome Johnny Thalassetos. Welcome, Johnny. You're the lead councillor for environmental and planning at RBKC.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We have Jill Brown. Hi, Jill.
Hi.
Now, you were the chair of the Residents Association at Henry Dickens.
I was.
And you've seen quite a bit of refurbing and retrofitting over your time.
A lot, yes, since the 80s.
And we have Mushtaq Lashari, CBE. Welcome. You're the current chair at Lancaster West Residents Association.
Very true, John.
And we have, of course, James Caspel. James, you run the Lancaster West neighbourhood team, amongst many other things.
Glad to be here.
I just gave you the figures of how much council housing contributes to the carbon output of the borough. Johnny, we've got to do something about it. What are we going to do?
We do have to do something about it. Carbon emissions are too high, and I think we all know the environmental impact that has. There is a lot of work underway that the council's doing, and we're working with a lot of partners too. There are plans that we've already started on in terms of the Nottingdale Heat Network and lots of the big retrofits and refurbishments of large estates around the borough. It's a big program, and you know, I don't think anybody's complacent about that, but it is important that we're reducing our carbon footprints. So that's part of what we're doing. Housing is obviously the biggest element, but operational buildings too, they're a big part of our emissions. So we're retrofitting our operational buildings where we can. We've done a handful of schools already and a couple of our own kind of operational estate. And then, you know, looking at the environment more generally too, whether there are things we can do with transport, waste, and all of the other emission sources. So it's a very broad program, but we're trying our best to get emissions down. And in the last five years or so, we've cut emissions by more than a fifth. Since 2010, they're down by half in KNC. So really big drops in emissions. That, you know, it's not just the council that does that. It's all of the partnership work. It's the residents. It's everybody that we work with. But together, I think we can be proud of the progress that's been made, and we need to ramp that up because, you know, the challenge is only becoming more acute.
Mushtaq, you are here on the Lancaster West estate. How does this affect people in their own homes as they go about their daily business on Lank West?
I think after Grenfell Tower disaster in June 2017, suddenly the Lancaster West became not only local biggest tragedy, but national and international in the Western world. So we have started rebuilding and refurbishing in the estate. A lot of work has been done, including doing some work on CO2, environment and everything. And now in 21st century, the climate change has become one of the biggest challenges to the world. So I think the local council has started working, Royal Borough of Kensington Chelsea has working together with the resident, how to make resident benefit out of the new changes they are bringing in. I have energy saving sort of things put into my flat in the beginning 2-3 years ago, and it does benefit the local people when they know what sort of energy they are using it. With the last 3-4 years, the energy cost suddenly has jumped up. So one of the biggest effect on residents is now seen, because their bills jumped, but now they are coming to the normal, and with the local authority, Royal Borough of Kensington, Chelsea, and W11, we are working to make the resident satisfied with changing the windows to three glaze, triple glaze, and all that. But this is happening while the residents are living there. So there is a lot of disturbance as well. I'm very pleased to say that the council has agreed to compensate with a small amount of money to the people who are living on building site for last many years. And obviously, the Lancaster West estate, which was ignored for many years and put on a side, is now a very big sort of news everywhere.
Jill, Henry Dickens Estate, named obviously after Charles Dickens' grandson, who was a great philanthropist in this area in the early part of the 20th century. That was built, I think, in the 30s.
No, Henry Dickens was actually built just after the war.
Oh.
It was a bomb site. It was all two up, two down terraced houses. And Henry Dickens was actually a lead councillor for social housing.
Oh.
And hence why this estate was built on that bomb site. And every block in the estate is named after a character or a place in Charles Dickens's books.
It's obviously an older property, older construction. Have there been, what have been the particular issues at Henry Dickens?
Well, if we want to go back to when I first moved in, which was 1976, it was coal fires. There was no central heating. The windows were all metal and rusty and full of holes. There was no boiler system. It was an immersion heater on the wall with an arm that came out to give you hot water over your sink. Wooden draining boards. When I became the chair of the Residents Association in the very early 80s, we fought hammer, tooth and nail to get the council to recognise that we couldn't continue living this way. And a big, huge refurbishment of the whole estate was to be undertaken. And the council at that time employed a contracting firm to come in and do this. This was to actually put in central heating, boiler systems, new windows, new entry doors even. In fact, the estate got changed round the opposite way round, because the entry doors now that are our main entry doors used to be our back door out into where the dustbins were, but now it's the main entry door. Yeah, there was a lot of work done. Unfortunately, the problem arose afterwards, because what they did was every room in your home had an air brick to the outside. When they did that refurbishment, they blocked all of them up. So it was great to have central heating and windows that didn't let in the cold, but then it caused other issues because it caused the damp and the mould, which nobody had had before. And then recently, well, about a year and a half ago now, I spent a lot of time seeking funding with the Future Neighbourhoods 2030 on environmental issues for the estate. And one of the main biggest ones was the low-rise windows. That is 236 properties, by the way, just for the low-rise blocks. Okay, and they all range from studio flats, from studios, one beds, two beds, three beds, four beds. So there's a lot of windows. And I was very successful in getting the funding to actually have the low-rise blocks done for new windows that actually fitted, that you could actually do and open. So everybody, the residents, were actually over the moon when they heard this, because they were suffering. I used to have to tape my windows up in the winter months, literally, outside and inside. That's how bad they were.
Wow, that's interesting energy advice, isn't it?
It's fantastic now. There is no curtain moving when it's windy. There's no rain coming through when it rains. So I'm over the moon, and the residents are over the moon.
James, from what we've heard, there are a couple of issues. From what we've heard, people are warmer, the windows are working. How is that contributing to cutting the 73% of the borough's emissions?
In terms of Lancaster West Estate, which is obviously in the heart of Nottingdale, following the Grenfell tragedy, a commitment was made to work sensitively and collaboratively with residents, which does take time. And we have absolutely learned how to reach parts of the estate, if you will, and seldom heard groups that for obvious reasons, given where we are in the context, there was a vacuum of trust. So we had to spend a lot of time just starting with conversations about what, you know, meet people on their own terms. So we had certain people who were concerned about energy bills, would have people who were concerned about green space, air quality. And so I think in terms of sustainability more broadly, we've used that full spectrum approach to start talking about retrofit, which, let's be honest, isn't the sexiest of terms in terms of the sort of terminology and the complexities of things that you're discussing. We have got to a point now, though, where on Lancaster West Estate, 65% of all of our social housing tenants have had the internal refurbishment works, which Mushtaq has described. And that means things like smart thermostats, which for the first time on this estate means that people could turn their heating on and off. So when I joined in early 2018, we're in a situation where 80% of Lancaster West Estate had their heating controlled by their landlord. So it was on for 6 months. And it was off for 6 months.
With no variation?
No variation, no valves on radiators, and effectively the original 1973 system on the side of the estate we're sitting under at the moment. And so the experience of managed decline, which is one definitely shared and expressed across Nottingdale Ward, was something that we were having to catch up on. But we have made lots of progress. I use the example of smart thermostats, energy efficient lighting and so on. And that has helped to reduce carbon emissions on the estate by 21%. So similar to Johnny's figure for the council on this estate by 21%. And as housing management since 2018 across the borough, that has reduced by 6.4%. And the reason why housing has gone up as a proportion is the rest of the council services and buildings have dramatically reduced their emissions. And so increasingly housing becomes the toughest nut to crack. We are, though, under no illusion in terms of the challenge to get to carbon neutral. The council's aim is to do that by 2030. There's a lot of discussion at the moment in this country around net zero, and for me, it's a bit of a how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time, really. So it's more about direction of travel, because if in 2018 we said this is a massive challenge, we're not going to do it, then nothing would have happened. And you know, those improvements, carbon emissions, you know, they will affect, obviously, hopefully mitigate runaway climate change, but they also mean lower bills for residents, which means more money in residents' pockets, means improved air quality, safety in terms of removing gas from people's homes and the risks that can come from having gas in homes for heating and hot water. But we still have, so as we sit here on Lancaster West Estate, 80% of the homes we manage are still single glazed. So in the week that OAB's law has come in, you know, I think to reflect on the damp and mild epidemic, because that's what it is up and down the country, what we're faced with here on Lancaster West is we don't have a particularly high amount of damp and mould, because our homes are currently so poorly insulated in terms of the single glazing and so on. And I think one of the key things, which I think is at the core of retrofit done properly, is absolutely working with residents on their own terms in terms of what would make their home a better place to live, but also technically making sure we're not doing things in a piecemeal fashion. And we've seen a range of projects where people are putting external wall insulation on or new windows and they're not looking at ventilation, and that is causing those sorts of issues. So there's a technical acumen piece as well, which landlords and certainly councils are slowly but surely learning. So one of the things I'm pleased we've been able to do here in Baseline is host the council's Green Skills Academy up the other end of Baseline. And that is something where we are sharing the learning, not just from council officers, but also from contractors. And we're helping contractors and we're creating jobs for people as green building becomes a sector of growth. So I think by looking at things holistically from a people point of view, from a technical point of view, and from a broader economic perspective, increasingly I would say the work that we're doing here on Lancaster West is not just an investment in Lancaster West, but certainly wider housing management. And I think across, I mean, we've heard a fantastic example of the lovely windows that Jill has got, which a lot of residents here on Lancaster West are very envious of, and they are coming. But we are seeing, given, you know, Notting Dale has, you know, almost a fifth of all of our social housing in the borough, we are seeing that significant investment come in. And I think it's fantastic to see that it's resident led. And yes, that does take longer, but it means you get a better outcome as a result, not just for us as a landlord, but more importantly for our residents.
Johnny, net zero's come under a little bit of stress over the last, say, 12 months. But from what we're hearing here, it can be a win-win, because not only are we reducing our emissions and hopefully saving the planet, but also some of these things like insulated windows and smart thermostats are allowing residents take more control over their home environment and also save money.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the hope. And whenever we introduce kind of new net zero schemes, the hope is that it will have that dual benefit of environment and also trying to save people money. I mean, concern about energy bills is rightly really high. The bills are even higher. And, you know, we've got to, over time, figure out how we can get this stuff under control. James talked about the impact climate change has. And, you know, I think we all know that if we don't do everything in our power, it will probably get worse. I think in terms of what we try to do with net zero, we want to make as much progress towards it as we can. I think having a target like net zero is a really useful spur. There's not really any doubt in my mind that we do more in terms of net zero and emissions cutting as a result of having a target like that than we would have otherwise. So it's a really good device to get us to move more quickly on stuff. Not just us, but partners as well. There's something about having a shared goal that brings people to the table, focuses minds, and enables you to make that faster progress. So, you know, I mentioned before a few of the things that we've done, whether it's things like the heat network, the retrofitting of some of our big kind of school and operational buildings. That stuff is big. These are large projects for a council to take on, especially at a time when funding is really stretched. So net zero has been one of the big kind of rallying cries for people internally and I think outside the council to really push local government to be at the front. So we try to make as much progress as we can. I think at the same time, we've got to remember that we're only a small part of all the emissions in the borough. So we talk about borough emissions. Actually, we're really talking about council emissions. And council emissions are about 1% of the whole in any one borough. It may be different in other boroughs. I think for us, it's about 1%. So we are tackling our 1%, but actually it's on the community much more broadly as well. Residents, businesses, institutions, everyone to play their part. So we have a big role, not just in terms of our own operations, but also as a facilitator, a convener, setting policy and trying to bring people together. So that can mean a whole range of things. We've introduced, for example, new planning orders to try and encourage people to be able to green their homes more easily. So things like putting solar panels on listed homes, putting double glazing in on listed homes, trying to do stuff that makes it a bit easier to keep your home warm and also reduces those barriers to doing it. We also, you know, work with, as I say, kind of whether it's through the Exhibition Road Cultural Group, the Future Neighbourhoods Programme, which is obviously a good example of partnership working. We try to use our role as a, you know, public body, as a major stakeholder in the community to try and have those conversations. And often you find that if you can get all of the right people in the room, you can actually unlock things that might have otherwise stayed closed.
You mentioned that some of the operational buildings, schools and so on, have already been retrofitted.
Yeah.
Have you found that your bills there have come down for heating, I don't know, one of the schools or the town hall even?
Yeah, I mean, so we've retrofitted, I think, 5 of our schools in the first phase of our program, and we've got at least one more school coming in a kind of phase 2 pretty soon. It's still quite early to look at the bills, and I'm very much asking officers week to week that question because I want to know, because I know that one thing residents are going to ask me is, well, why has my bill gone up? Or thank God it's gone down. Retrofitting buildings, whether it's homes or schools or anything else, is really disruptive. And naturally, people are quite skeptical of change. So if you're in a situation where you've got to put yourself through that, you want something at the end of it that's really going to be worth it. And if bills are going up, I think that does risk some of the public support that you'll see, because at that point, you're potentially asking people to make a trade-off between the kind of the global environmental position and their material position in terms of finances. It's one of the reasons why we put in the price promise when we started on the Heat Network, because like I say, I get it. Bills going up is a major, major problem in a cost of living crisis. I mean, I grew up in a housing association flat in the borough. We were in TA when I was born. Bills in KNC, in addition to all the other costs when you go, you know, when you live your life here, are a massive issue. So, yeah, it's at the core of our thinking.
Jill, have people found that their bills are at least stabilizing? Because we mustn't forget that the actual cost of electricity is shooting up. So if you can keep your bills stabilized, it's actually going down.
Well, I wouldn't say it's actually going down, and I wouldn't say that people are happy with their bills. The problem on Henry Dickens is that the vast majority are 65 years and older. I myself am only on a state pension. So, yes, the costs are astronomical because you've got to watch every penny. I've got elderly residents in their 80s and 90s that are not using their gas at all, which means they're not using their heating because they cannot afford the electricity and the gas bill. So they have to choose. So I contact each and every one of my CHUMS members, which is my registered charity, and that is 124 residents. Every single Sunday they're contacted. And I always put a reminder in that the winter is coming. If you're not going to be using your heating everywhere, use it at least in one room for a certain amount of time. Wear layers even indoors as well as outdoors. But these are people that are on a very fixed income. So the bills are still going up for them. Their income is not going up. So they're struggling massively. And this is why it's so important to try and work with councillors, partners, whoever we can work with, to try and rectify this at some point. What is the best way? What can we do to help people to actually make their homes warmer, safer, sustainable?
I mean, James, we are doing some stuff here, aren't we, as part of Nottingdale Future Neighbourhoods?
So one of the things we can see just over the road from where we are at the moment is Treadgold House. Treadgold House is a pioneering medium-rise must-be-zero approach. So it's got everything you could possibly do to deep retrofit a home. So we're talking external wall insulation, triple glazed windows, new roof, warm roof, solar PV panels, air source heat pump. We've had to build a substation to electrify that. And Treadgold House, it's interesting hearing about the history of Henry Dickens. So Treadgold House, we can still see the original chimney flues. And we've got some brickwork that we're going to bring back and do some landscaping. So it's gone from coal to gas. Treadgold House will be this borough's first gas-free block. So we've had to work with residents. Gas is still, despite all the uncertainty in the world, gas is still broadly cheaper than electricity. And as Johnny's mentioned, we've done some really innovative stuff that has been shared as best practice around a price promise so that we as a landlord hold the risk on people going to green energy. What you're seeing a lot of is that gets passed on to the residents, and they are on occasion receiving higher bills. So we've de-risked that so that there is no penalty for people going green early, if you like. And we've worked closely with the 19 households who are going to be returning to Treadgold House, hopefully in early 2026, to understand their anxieties, test things like the smart thermostat, the exact one, is it easy to use, can you use it on your phone, and so on and so forth, and to iterate. And ultimately, by substantially reducing the amount of energy that you need to put into a home, you're then reducing and de-risking what you need to do to green the energy that is going in. Gas at the moment, in terms of carbon, is relatively cheap in this country. I say relatively, that it's gone up in prices. And there's a lot of discussion as well around energy security, which I think definitely has a role in terms of how do we decentralize our energy. So a lot of what we've done in across the board, in fact, on schools and operational buildings and our housing, is to look at installing solar PV panels alongside things like green roof elements, brown roof elements, which help in terms of air quality. Obviously, the Westway is a long-standing grievance in this community for very obvious reasons, which we won't have time to go into. But one of the things is the level of pollution, which is, as Johnny said, as a council, we're only part of the picture. But I think what's interesting, and it's exactly the same point that Johnny made around the point of having a target, once you show the art of the possible, we have, you know, I have residents who I'm not the landlord for coming in saying, how can I get a green skills job? Could you help me in terms of retrofit advice and so on? And so what I'm really excited about through the Nottingdale Future Neighbourhood 2030 is not just the learning and what we're doing to the homes that have managed to benefit so far, but how that is radiating, pun intended, in terms of people wanting to be part of, you know, that solution, which will benefit, you know, residents first and foremost, but also, as you've said, Piers, the planet as well. And I think we often talk about the sizeable costs, and rightly so. That, I mean, the funding is there in the economy. It's just political choices that need to be made or not in terms of retrofit. But I think also there's the piece around the cost of doing nothing. And we have seen in this ward, in terms of July 2021, the extensive flooding that we had. We've seen in the walkways, we've had electricity outages before. We didn't have that resilience and what that's caused. And once you start looking at that, the cost of finding alternative accommodation for people because their homes are flooded and you can't, you know, return to them, that's what you've got to do at. You know, there is a cost to net zero. But there is also a cost of not decarbonising to greater or lesser extents. And so I think you do need to look at things in the round. Just on the energy point specifically, so Johnny's mentioned the Nottingdale heat network. Again, that will replace two end-of-life gas-powered heat networks. Famously, we've got a temporary boiler here on the end of Whitchurch Road, end of Testerton Walk, because previously the gas boiler was underneath and adjacent to Grenfell Tower, which for obvious reasons was rendered unusable immediately after. So we had to install a temporary boiler. We've got these 1973 radiators. We don't have thermostats. We don't have radiator valves. We've started installing them, though, and what's called the tertiary network, which is basically the heating stuff in people's homes. Around 350 households now on Lancaster West, so about 40% have had those new radiators, smart thermostats and so on. But what we haven't done yet is replace that actual heating source. And so what we're doing with the Nottingdale Heat Network, which will also plug into the leisure centre and will be able to expand as well to wider Nottingdale, is we're installing an air source heat pump on the roof of Kensington Leisure Centre. And also a thermal store, which has been co-designed, and that's basically a very large hot water tank outside the leisure centre. And that will mean that by 2030, we will have a fully gas-free heating and hot water source going into, hopefully, those substantially retrofitted properties. And what gas means on Lancaster West is it's 33% of all of our emissions. So if we remove gas from combi boilers for the minority that have them, but also in terms of the communal networks, then just like that, we have reduced 33% of our emissions. And this is probably the biggest challenge in housing. And it is dealing with both sides of the coin, because at the moment, it is going to be cost prohibitive to just swap out carbon-based energy to green energy, unless you reduce the heat demand, which brings you back to the need to retrofit, the need to make sure that people have adequate housing in terms of their windows, external wall insulation, and so on. Again, this is a national challenge, but I think the work that we're doing here, led by residents and with the political support of the borough as well, I think it is truly pioneering. And it will mean that I think we'll be ahead of the curve. And I think in an area where absolutely understandably the perception, which I've seen myself from a professional perspective, of historic neglect of investment in housing in this area, I think we've got a somewhat horrific opportunity, given why some of these conversations are now taking place. But we do have an opportunity, I think, for putting Nottingdale on the map for really, really positive and exciting reasons.
There's an energy advice network that comes out of the Lancaster West neighbourhood team, You've got collaborations with Groundwork London and Green Doctors. And that means that people who aren't necessarily, who may be in private homes, whether they own their own or whether they're renters, that means they have access to help and practical help in how to cut their bills and make themselves warmer, greener, while spending less.
Absolutely. And I think there are a number of really exciting existing community groups. And I think what we've been able to do as a council is be an enabler, if you will. There's only so much that the council can do. And in many of these areas, especially where it involves interfaces and speaking to people on their level, the community is much better at that than someone like me would ever be. And so what's really been good to see, you mentioned the Fix It Fest, which is just, you know, running itself super successful. We've, you know, in Avondale Park, we've got markets. We've got markets going on in Silchester now. And I think the people side of this and how, you know, for some people, they get engaged with the green agenda, if I can call it that. Because of need, so they can't pay their bill and they're looking for help. And if for some people it's something they're passionate about, they want to learn about more, they want to help their community. And I think we're at a really exciting nexus here in Nottingdale where that is happening. And we're essentially in a place where I think people now are referring to different providers in terms of the energy advice and where they've had good experience. There's sensors that we're able to install as well in terms of helping people visibly see how, because there's lots of people still who don't have smart meters, let alone smart thermostats. And so there is a lot of learning that we're doing. And the big focus that we're also doing is on what we're calling the resident transition. So we talk about Lancaster West becoming a 21st century model estate. The quiet bit, which I've increasingly said out loud, is we are moving from a 19th century social housing estate in terms of the heating, in terms of the windows and so on. So for people who are used to having zero control over their heating and hot water, to say to them, this is a thermostat radiator valve, this is a smart thermostat, that's a smart meter, all the rest of it, it's a lot to take in. And so we've got staff who are dedicated through our resident liaison sort of service in helping people when they move, so when residents move back to Treadgold House, explaining to them how their home will operate differently to what they're used to. We've had a big focus and an award-winning initiative called Goodbye Gas on the Estate, which, as the name sounds, is about removing people from gas. The biggest obstacle we're finding is cookers. So people are very used to their cookers. They're very keen to keep family heirloom crockery and cooking utensils and all that sort of thing. And so we've effectively created a scheme whereby we will swap out somebody's cooker for them. We will give them induction plates, pots if they need to. And we're about to launch a sort of a phase two of this, which is going to be called the Goodbye Gas Gurus, where we're going to be recruiting people who've made the transition, who've said, I can't cook a chapati on an induction hob, learned how to do it. And now they're telling their neighbours, no, this is a really good thing to do. And with induction cookers, for those who don't know, it's the most efficient way of cooking. It's safe in terms of kids not accidentally burning themselves. Obviously, it takes gas out of a property, which brings risks and air quality issues itself. And as I say, it will, because it's super efficient, it means it reduces the carbon and means we can get gas out of our properties. So we're, you know, as a housing provider, the normal stuff we do is the windows and the ventilation, but it's quite clear that in terms of the challenge for retrofit and as a country to get to net zero by say 2050, 70% of the homes that we're all going to be living in 2050 already exist. So it's no good relying on, I mean, the borough is absolutely leading the way on planning and things, and certainly I think the biggest leverages are around the things like what we can now do in listed buildings that other boroughs don't allow. But we're not going to rely on new build. You can't just new build your way to net zero. You've got to find a way to retrofit. We have a housing crisis in this borough and certainly across London and most cities in this country. And so being able to do it in a way where people say thank you at the end, and yes, it was a bit stressful, and that involves looking at the respite offer. So when you've taken their gas cooker out, how are they going to cook their dinner till you put the new one in? And so I think there's lots of learning that we're doing here and in the wider world that will help to answer those questions for the housing sector across the UK.
If you could make one change to speed up the transition to warmer, greener homes in North Kent, but also more generally, what would that be?
I mean, really, I just want people to get on with retrofitting their homes. I'd want to make it easier and affordable. because I think cost is a big barrier for homeowners and people who actually are at the coalface of it, because ultimately we're 1%, but there's 100% out there. So, you know, speeding up that work, that's why the planning changes are so critical, I think. It's trying to make sure that the system really facilitates it. There's very little friction, hopefully, or less than there was, and trying to enable people to do the right thing and to make their homes greener.
My thoughts are, it's vital that we do cut the emissions. It's vital that we have decent homes to live in. One of the things is, I'm worried that you're going to try to do too many things too soon. Okay, it's not going to work, because the finances won't be there in another 10 years' time. But I think what you have got, you've got such old properties in this borough. And that's what worries me. What on earth is going to happen to all these buildings that cannot be retrofitted because their structure cannot take that retrofitting? If you can weatherproof the homes that you have got, you're halfway there, because that means that the homes will be more warmer anyway. They will be more efficient anyway and more comfortable. So that's one way of going, but so they've got to be weatherproofed.
We've talked a lot about partnership, but one group of partners we've not talked about is contractors. And I think we have taken a very long time to get a really good pool of contractors working, not just in Lancaster West, but in terms of Notting Down across housing management, but there's not enough of them. And some of that is stuff that has come out of the Grenfell Inquiry report, stuff that as housing professionals we have seen around, you know, the motivations of contractors and corner cutting and so on. And so to find really good contractors that do stick to their values and to the standards we're trying to achieve here is a challenge, certainly in this country. But as I mentioned earlier, the council's established the Green Skills Academy, which has been part grant funded as well. And that is something where we're training up local residents. And so we have, in terms of my own team, Lancaster West Neighbourhood team, 20% of our staff are local residents. And it's no coincidence that they are, on average, the hardest working staff in the team, because they're passionate about the area, as people are. They're committed to what we're trying to achieve. And I think by doing things like training people how to repair an air source heat pump, for example, or fit a smart thermostat, by having our residents training alongside the operatives who've got no links to the area necessarily, but are coming to work on the estate alongside, and help to create a sense of positive momentum. And this isn't just another job, certainly in this area, but it's something that's far bigger than a 9 to 5 or an 8 to 4, as most contractors tend to work if you're lucky. And I think the supply chain side of things is something that needs again a national focus, and we're focusing here locally and doing lots of stuff, because at the moment, even if we tackle the finance issue, which is a political choice issue, frankly, as many things are, we do not have the contractors, and we certainly don't have the in-house capacity at the moment. So another thing that might need to be looked at is going back to, in the same way we've got in-house repairs teams, whether you have in-house or regional level or multi-borough building teams, essentially, because I think there's a lot about the way that the public sector currently works and contracts private companies, which is inherently inefficient. And in terms of the drive to quality, whether it's retrofit, whether it's Arab's law, whether it's building safety regulations, we need to fundamentally change the way that we not just build new homes, but as we're hearing, we behave and leave a high quality home for those that are already existing, that we're bringing up to a new standard.
Well, those are lofty ambitions for the future. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for listening. I hope that our guests have answered some of your questions. We've heard how community energy, local green jobs and innovation can shape the next phase of the drive to achieve net zero by 2030. It can be a disruptive process, but local homes are being made warmer and greener through retrofitting. My name is Piers Thompson. This is Portobello Radio, your local community radio station, and this series has been supported by the Mayor of London. You can find all the previous episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Our Future Hood. Goodbye.
You are listening to Portobello Talk Radio, the authentic voice of Ladbroke Grove.